ShotGlassDigital.com. Rebel Force Radio is brought to you in part by Little Debbie Snacks, bakers of all galactic goodness, like mini donuts, Star Crunch, cosmic cupcakes, cosmic brownies, nutty bars, and much more. It's all about celebrating your love of a galaxy far, far away. And Little Debbie is the fan's choice for all those sweet moments. Little Debbie, official snack of Rebel Force Radio, Rancho Obi-Wan, and fans around the galaxy. DorksideToys.com. For the latest Star Wars action figures, Marvel, G.I. Joe, and more, visit DorksideToys.com. From Topps comes the all-new digital card collecting app, Star Wars Card Trader. For the first time ever, collect and trade everything from legendary 1977 Star Wars cards to new cards featuring exclusive content from Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens, all from the comfort of your mobile device. Star Wars Card Trader. These are the cards you're looking for.
Who are you?
I'm no one.
I was raised to do one thing. But I've got nothing to fight for.
Nothing will stand in our way. I will finish what you started.
There are stories about what happened.
It's true. All of it. Dark side. A Jedi. They're real.
The Force. It's calling to you.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey!
Hey, how we doing?
Good. It's good to see that that Star Wars didn't break your internet. It's woo-hoo! Broken everybody. I think it's broken FJ's. Still waiting on FJ DeSanto, but we do have Paul Bateman on here. Paul, your reaction to the trailer?
Woo-hoo!
Okay, so how was it for you? You don't get ESPN over there, do you? How did you get it? What was going on in the UK?
Refresh.
So you knew. So what were you refreshing? StarWars.com?
Every page that I thought might even possibly have the trailer on it. StarWars.com, Star Wars YouTube page, you name it. Everywhere I could find.
So you're refreshing all this. What finally did it for you? What came up?
It was the Star Wars Twitter page. So they posted it like the second it was up, I think. So it was like...
Fantastic. So you didn't have to watch football. I had to watch American football. It was the longest 2.5 minutes of my life.
Oh, yeah. Stop it. Yeah. Come on. Who is...
Well, it was 2.5 minutes, and football is not actually 2.5 minutes. It's more like 19 minutes.
The only thing you were paying attention to was that clock. Just watching it, yo. Timeout, no!
Tick, tick. Yeah, I was. But, all right, Paul, give it to us. How many times... You've seen it, I'm sure, a couple of times by now. What's jumping out at you?
Oh, well, it looks like we're finally finding out it's a documentary. Because Han Solo says it's all true. So there you go.
Right. It's all true.
So well, what does that tell you?
Interesting. That tells us that it's legendary. Yeah. The events of the original trilogy, particularly of the final battle, in Return of the Jedi is the stuff of legend. And this is a recurring theme with Star Wars now. We have the leap from Attack of the Clones and the era of the Old Republic and the Jedi. By the time we get to A New Hope, it's the stuff of legend, Jimmy. And now we fast forward another 30 years, or a couple of decades at least, and again, the events of the previous trilogy are the stuff of legend.
I wonder why that is. I wonder if it's going to be explained to us that the truth was suffocated to protect the innocent or something along those lines. You know, the expanded universe for years and years had us believing that the stories of Luke Skywalker were something that were, you know, Ken Burns was making documentaries about him. You know, it was something that was in history books and coloring books, for crying out loud. Luke in some expanded universe books would walk into a bar that was it was a theme bar made to look like Jabba's palace the day he walked in. FJ DeSanto joining us, here blown away by the trailer, I'm sure. So what'd you think, FJ?
I'm still processing. Like, I don't even understand what the hell I just saw.
Let me say this.
You know what's not in the trailer?
Mark Hamill.
No. The shot of Poe with the rifle in the dark that's in the teasers that went online this weekend.
Well, that's true. Go back. That's right.
That's my nerd moment for you.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I think that's going to be like the only one of the show. So thanks, FJ.
Yeah, there you go.
But
FJ, what was so much more exciting about this trailer than the previous two?
Well, a lot of action, that's for sure. And, I mean, there's a ton of action. You know, at least sets up the bad guy's motivation, which is really cool. Which they hadn't done before. It's really, when you think about it, it's sort of the first bit of story you're sort of getting out of it. And you get, you know, at least a little bit of an idea of Rey, a little bit of the motivation and set up for Finn. You know, hey, all the stuff we knew from the previous trilogy is now some mythological thing. There are stories, et cetera, you know.
Well, we were just talking about that when you called, and I said to Jimmy, I said, isn't this interesting that the way that what happens between the trilogies, you have between the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy, what you saw in the prequels became the stuff of legend in the original, and then between the original trilogy and now the sequel trilogy, you have this stuff being the stuff of legend. Jimmy was telling us about the truth being snuffed out between generations.
Well, that seems to be a trend with the books, you know, if you're following, you know, or the comics and the books where, you know, like in Shattered Empire, that, you know, Han's leading these, I'm not really spoiling anything, the comics are out, Han leading these sort of expeditions to take out like the Imperial propaganda machine, you know, that says, hey, the Emperor's still alive and, you know, none of this happened and blah, blah. So you wonder.
Are you talking about the real books or the fake books?
No, I'm talking about the new, brand new comic books.
Okay, yeah, the real stuff. All right.
Brand new comic books. Yeah. No.
Because Jimmy was talking about the old EU where Luke couldn't walk into a cantina without being mobbed for his autograph.
I don't think that's going to be the case in this. I mean, I think it's don't get me started. But the you know, it's going to be this thing where it's like, you know, look, they don't have like social studies class in the Republic, I guess. So, you know, there are history classes that are going to be like, hey, these are the great stories that happened. It's not like all of a sudden we look at Luke Skywalker like George Washington. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's not going to be that. It's going to be this thing. And everybody went into hiding and, I mean, not necessarily hiding, but, you know, the impression you get is these kids don't know. You know, the only one who seems to have a grasp on history is Kylo Ren, which is an interesting thing. You know what I mean? Like, he's the only one who's sitting there understanding, you know, here's what the galaxy was about 30 years ago.
I'm going to finish what you started, Paul. What did Vader start? What do you think Kylo Ren's thinking in terms of the unfinished mission?
Fighting, isn't it? It makes you wonder. I mean, it's almost like, you know, his interpretation of what Vader's agenda is or was could be completely off base. I mean, for all we know, he could just be listening to tales that might have no real kind of connection to what Vader actually had in mind, for all we know. You know, I mean, who knows? The thing that got me excited about Kylo in this one was just he has a posse. You know, I mean, we've seen kind of concept art out there and stuff like that, but we've seen a photograph of, you know, clearly Ren's got a gang and they made the cut. So that's really
it's the Knights of Ren. It's the Knights of Ren.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I want to slow that down. That particular shot you're talking about, Paul, I couldn't make out. They look like they're the Dark Troopers as opposed to at first I thought they were other Kylo Ren looking figures.
They are. They're not troopers. They're like knights.
Are you sure?
Yeah, look at the helmets. They're all really different. They're not stormtroopers for certain. I mean, because some of them have even got capes on, haven't they?
Yeah, I'm trying to find that particular moment in the trailer. I went back and I looked at it because I thought the same thing you did. And then the second time I went back, that looked like they were troopers.
No, they're not troopers. No way. Every one of them is different. Mm-hmm. So they've all got different helmets. They've all got different kind of, you know, clothing on and stuff like that. Some of them have got like kind of pleated shoulder pads that look a lot like Vader's kind of leggings and stuff like that. So they're obviously kind of carrying the Vader thing out into other characters. But
Vader's skirt you're talking about, right?
Well, yeah, well, just the kind of... It's...
Go ahead, FJ.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
No, go ahead, FJ.
No, Paul's right. It's the Knights of Ren. It'd be one thing... Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Guys?
Yep. Yeah. I hear you.
Guys. Oh, yeah. Sorry. No, it's definitely, the Knights of Ren. I mean, JJ talked about that in the Vanity Fair article.
Right. Well, I know that. I know that. I'm just saying that in that particular shot, I don't know. I'm looking at... Okay, wait a minute. I'm looking at it right now.
Go to 124.
There we go. All right. I'm on 124 exactly. And those visors. Okay. All right. I stand corrected.
Third from the left, that looks like he's got like a scimitar or something over his shoulder, or they've all got different kind of weapons and stuff. So whatever they are, they're all kind of individual.
Those are definitely stormtroopers. There might be one or two scattered in there, but if you look at the guys on the right,
guys,
you
know what we're looking at?
You can see they're just, those aren't trooper helmets, nor are they in trooper gear. They look like they're in long coats.
I didn't think we would actually see the Knights of Ren. Jim, what are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I hate to interrupt, but I mean, I just think, you know, as we see these guys in silhouette, what we're actually looking at are the flame troopers. That's why you think that they have the longer capes or whatnot, but I that's what I think we're looking at here.
They've all got different helmets. They're not the flame troopers. Totally different armor.
I have to actually get back to that sequence. Hey, let's come back to that. Let's talk a little bit about this. I want to move forward because something's becoming more and more obvious to us as we start looking at this trailer. It's one sequence featuring Han, Rey, Finn, and BB-8 and some weird gigantic droid. And they're standing outside of a dwelling that looks like it could be on Yavin if you just look at the stones that were used to build whatever the structure is. But if you notice in the tapestries hanging from up above, you see a Mandalorian death's head. You see another symbol it's sort of that arrow symbol that's on Boba Fett's armor. What do we make of this? Are we approaching the lair of Boba Fett right here? I think that could very well be the truth.
The only thing I can tell you for a fact is that robot's practical. Because I've seen footage of it just walking around. So it's obviously, I think it's a small person on stilts.
Yeah.
So it looks like CG, but I mean, it's just a huge robot they built.
So, Paul, you've actually seen the physical model?
Well, I've seen images of it, you know, where you kind of go, oh, yeah, I reckon. So that's totally logged in my brain now, you know, so I know which one it is. And that's a practical robot. It's not CG.
Now, the only reason I ask is because I know you poke around Pinewood from time to time and you might have spotted something. Is there anything here that in this trailer that you've actually seen physical representation of over at Pinewood?
No comment.
They didn't make you sign an NDA, did they?
That market looks amazing, and it does make you wonder. I mean, I feel the same thing about those rocks. It does look like something from Yavin.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's what they're going for. So you have all of these flags, essentially, what look to be old flags, hanging down from this place. Maybe these are some sort of trophies
Yeah, that could be it.
Jim, are you specifically referring to that purple flag right there, sort of in the center?
Here, let me.
Is that what you're talking about?
I'm jumping all over the place here,
Boba Fett's lair.
So let me get back to where I just was. Actually, if you want to check out Sam Witter's Twitter, Sam did a screen grab of some of those banners, and it's really nice and clear. And it's just this arrow type image that you see on Boba's armor. It's represented as a flag or a tapestry up above.
It's the Bantha skull too. That's there as well. Both of them.
Yes, I see the Bantha skull. Okay, right. Okay,
the Bantha skull. We always call that the Death's Head skull or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes you wonder, wow. I mean, just how cool is it just to see Harrison Ford walking around as Han Solo?
Yeah, he's kind of lumbering around.
It's ridiculous. He's
lumbering around. And I love when he hugs his mother there at one point. You see he's squeezing her in real tight. That was his mom, right, wasn't it?
Oh, stop it.
I'm serious.
Hey, I'm serious when I say Princess Leia looks like Glenn Close in this trailer. Take a look at Carrie Fisher. She looks like Glenn freaking Close.
How close?
She looks like Carrie, which is great. That's what I wanted to, I didn't want to look strange. I wanted to look like who she is.
Notice the emotion. She's crying.
Yeah. She is crying.
We've never seen the princess cry, have we?
No, we haven't.
Serious acting going on in this trailer, isn't there? Lots of crying.
Lots of emotion. Daisy's crying. You see her weeping at one point.
Oh, speaking of Daisy, what about the voiceover? There's two distinct female voices that we hear. One is clearly Daisy.
I believe the other is Lupita.
You believe the other is Lupita? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. And it sounds like she's having dialogue with Daisy. And it sounds like Lupita's character has some knowledge of the Force and the ways of the Force as well. So she might be some sort of mentor for Daisy. So are we, and also are we to assume confirmation just by the way Harrison Ford's narration synced up with the images on screen that indeed Finn is a Jedi?
No,
we don't.
No.
Because
I'm not saying he's not force sensitive or whatever, but I don't think you could sit there and say,
okay, well,
he's a Jedi.
He all right, fair enough, fair enough.
Being a Jedi,
fair enough. Maybe, well, maybe it's foreshadowing.
That voiceover times to that figure putting his hand on R2, which we've up to this point assumed is Luke,
right? And we still do, at least I do.
Yeah. So not necessarily Finn, but. Obviously, this is a world, this is a galaxy where the victory of the rebels over the Empire has not brought in, an era of does not look like peace, justice, harmony, etc. It looks pretty much like the same place we left 30 years ago.
I've got a comment on that one, though. I mean, the when you said place, right, the place we left.
Mm-hmm.
You know when Harrison delivers that line and he says it's all true. Did you notice he's surrounded by planets? That to me makes me feel about like the old when they're searching for the planet in the prequels and it turns out it's been deleted or whatever.
Yes.
It makes me wonder if we're going down a similar territory with Tatooine and Jakku. Where maybe things were changed or where misinformation's out there and kind of like maybe things have now got new names or. The true story has been kind of hidden for whatever reason, because it does make me wonder why that line's delivered when they're looking at star charts. You know what I mean? Right.
It could be that. Also, if you learn one thing, especially from what Paul is saying, it's very obvious Luke didn't go restart the Jedi Order.
Yeah.
Well, very clear. I mean, the Jedi are still stuff of legends, according to the voiceover that we hear. All right. Well, the trailer opens. We see a lot of shots of Rey as she is scaling what we can probably assume is the downed Star Destroyer.
Yes.
She's scavenging.
Absolutely.
This very well may be where she meets BB-8.
I'm led to believe that she finds.
Well, I thought that might have something to do with that ship she's looking up.
Yeah.
Do you see what I think it has something to do with when she's sitting down and looking up at that ship.
Mm.
I think it has something to do with that.
What has something to do? What, finding BB-8?
Finding BB-8, yeah.
Mm. Mm. Because
I think that's all connected.
Because I think the whole point of this story, or excuse me, this trailer, is to give you a sense of story. So here she is. She's scavenging around. The next thing you know, she's trudging ahead a little bit of BB-8. Kind of reminds you of, you know, 3PO and R2 a little bit. Looks like BB-8's working to keep up with her.
Hey, you didn't let me finish my thought about what she was scavenging for, or what she may have found.
FJ interrupted you.
Yeah, I know.
It's,
I know.
It's mad.
It's okay. Yeah. It's all right. He's from the East Coast, so I assume to be treated that way. FJ. I think that we've heard time and time again that something that the characters are going to be chasing throughout this film is Luke Skywalker's lightsaber. I think that there's a possibility she may find that lightsaber within the ruins of that crashed Star Destroyer. Because let's face it, if anyone was to retrieve Luke Skywalker's lightsaber from the bottom of that shaft in Cloud City, it would be the Imperials, because they had taken over the city last time we were in Cloud City, you know?
So you're thinking that she's the one that finds the lightsaber?
Yes, but I could be, obviously dealing with speculation like this.
Of course,
you know.
I think the thing that's really made clear, like, I mean, we kind of knew this anyway, I think, by just the fact that Daisy's taking center stage in a lot of the magazine shoots and stuff like that. But this is clearly making a statement about this is Daisy's movie, I think, because, you know, I mean, just the way it opens up with I'm nobody. I mean, that's establishing that she's the hero.
Unless she's the Rick Olie of this film.
But you know, like Campbell's whole thing is like you can't truly have a hero that kind of endures in a story unless you paint them as a nothing up front, so we can all kind of connect with that character.
Yes, absolutely, Paul. They're yes. They're definitely establishing that she is a person of very modest means.
Yeah.
She's sort of a hybrid. I mean, she's almost like Little Orphan Annie. Well, Annie from the prequels. You know, she looks a little bit more like Anakin than she does Luke. I mean, you know, Luke, I think Luke was middle class.
Uh-huh.
But
middle class?
Luke, what the Lars is?
They were
had their own farm. Of course they were middle class.
They were poor. Their own farm.
Did you see that blender that Beru was working in the kitchen?
Their farm.
Not just anybody could afford that.
Bull.
Their
IKEA.
Their farm is nothing but sand.
It's IKEA.
How rich do you have to be?
No, they're middle class. Anakin was poor. He was a slave, for God's sake.
Anakin was a slave. I think Luke Skywalker was definitely not middle class.
Are you going to really pick these nits at a time like this?
Yes.
Hey, let's go to 38 seconds in and tell me if you think that's a bloody handprint on Finn's helmet.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is.
Looks like it, right?
It sure does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we see some of the familiar shots after they establish Daisy scaling in the inside of the Star Destroyer. We see the familiar shots of the First Order, obviously some sort of ceremony reminiscent of Nazi Germany. We have Finn. This is where we're introduced to Finn. This looks like might be the crash of his TIE fighter.
For sure.
That downs him there on Jakku. And he's managed to get some clothes from someone. I don't know who he gets those from, and finds his way. And we know that he eventually meets up with Daisy's character. And here's Phasma and Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren looking like he's capeless, hoodless, certainly, probably in a meditation chamber of some sort, praying or paying his respects to the burned helmet of Vader, saying that I will finish what you started. So boy, is he going to be disappointed when he finds out that Vader turned out to be a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't know how does history paint someone like Darth Vader. You know,
there were no witnesses to that.
There was no witnesses to that. You know, maybe Luke just like took credit for everything. He's like, yeah, Emperor Darth Vader wiped them all out. Death Star blown up. I did it all. And then he just disappeared.
Yeah.
You know what? I think it's revealed for the first time here, although we all kind of got the impression that Kylo was a bit of a forced pretender, right? like he's kind of like a Sith wannabe. But in the next shot where you see him kind of attacking Poe Dameron, he clearly has Force powers.
Yes. Yeah, he's using some power.
Yes. He's
I mean, you assumed he probably did.
He's being really, really annoying. Like, I'm touching you.
Yeah.
I'm not touching you.
I might put you in the eye. I might.
But he's torturing Poe, it looks like, there.
Yeah.
And now, and then we see, it's very brief, but we see what looks to be a total destruction of a planet.
Mm.
Which, I mean, that looks pretty catastrophic, what we're seeing. And then the Falcon flying overhead and some of the shots that we've seen before. I'd say this is probably about 50-50, this trailer, of what we've seen before and new stuff.
No way. This is almost 100%. The only thing that comes close.
A lot of the, super fast...
I'm talking
are recycled. From
no,
the
they're not.
Trailers, they are. Yes, they are.
Okay, I'll go through the ones that are recycled with you right now. The shot of Finn removing his helmet, his stormtrooper helmet. That's a recycled shot. The shot of Vader's melted helmet. That's a recycled shot.
The shots of the Falcon.
No, none of the shots of the Falcon. Those are all fresh. They're from the same sequence, of course, but they are all fresh.
Different angle.
Scrolling through the shots of the TIE fighters skimming across the surface.
It looks the same,
but it's not the same. It's not the same.
The shot of Luke. Just flipped it.
The shot of Luke reaching out to R2's dome. That's a recycled shot. So we're up to what, three? Maybe the shot of Poe Dameron in the cockpit.
We're going through the trailer. What are you doing? You're skipping ahead. We're going through the trailer.
We've already skipped ahead.
Now, listen, when we get to the Falcon sort of zooming along the sand, that music. Wow, that music.
It's the Han and Leia.
It's just, yeah.
But a new take on it.
Definitely a new take on it.
Yeah, that's what I was really enjoying, was sort of the reorchestrated versions of these familiar themes.
Very minimalist in their structure. These compositions, very minimalist. This is bare bones stuff going on here, at least from what I'm hearing.
Mm.
And that's kind of the trend, isn't it, nowadays in films?
Yes.
To use that single key, that plunking sound on the piano. I don't like it. I'll tell you right now. I don't like it. If there's anything.
Jimmy Mack likes a little more grand.
Yes, I like it to be big. I want it big. I want it bold, and I want it to be in your face. I don't want strings. No, I don't. I don't want any. It sounds like the Man of Steel soundtrack to me.
I don't know. I'm a big fan of at the very end, when Vader dies and you hear the Imperial March being played on the it seems to be a harp. What's that? What's the big giant plucking instrument?
A harp.
Plunking the harp. Yeah.
But I mean, that's,
or it could be a violin. They might be plunking.
But I mean, for
violin.
A poignant moment. OK, for a poignant moment. Yes. But I mean, the single note on a piano has become a lame cliche in filmmaking by the year 2015. Thank you very much, Hans Zimmer. We're all just basking in your flipping glory. Now you're affecting John Williams.
I don't think you have to worry about it. I think this was music that was specially made for this trailer. I think this
trailer just happened. What was that violent outburst?
I don't know.
It's like a violent outburst.
Oh, please. Are you telling me that a soundtrack is good with a single ding, ding on a piano keyboard? I am so sick of hearing that in movies nowadays. I am so sick of it. John Williams is way above it.
It depends on whose ding it is.
Oh, it's a trend. It's a sign of the times. And John Williams has always been timeless in his composing, and now he's being affected by the lame trends established by the Hans Zimmers in filmmaking. No, it's weak. I'm sorry. If there's anything I'm going to nitpick, that's it. That's it, friends. I'm sorry, but I'm going to take a stand on that one little thing.
Play a little bit of this that Jimmy's calling weak here.
There are stories about what happened.
No, you're too far in. You're too far in.
All of it.
dinks in that.
Well, that's because you queued it up.
Dinks?
Because you queued it up to the middle of the trailer. I'm talking about the beginning of the trailer.
Oh, yeah, when it's all poignant and slow. It's supposed to be that way.
You two have lost your minds. This is the moment.
She's tiptoeing through the Star Destroyer, and you want to be blaring with some orchestral music? What's going on?
I want more than one note plucked on a piano by a chimp.
All right, Jimmy Mack, I expect off the rails here. All right, so then we got Han with his star maps. Paul speculating that some of these planets and these stories may have been washed from history.
No, I'm going further than that. I'm telling you, Star Wars itself is actually a documentary. That's what you're saying.
You know what, Paul? Every time I think you're completely nuts, you end up being right. So who knows?
You watch.
Who knows?
Well, the news will finally break tomorrow. They're finally ready to tell us it's all true.
Well, there is news of a super alien structure out there in the cosmos that we found. It sounds like a Death Star to me.
If they dug up the Falcon on Mars, I'd just be like, I knew it.
I'm not doubting you anymore. We're sitting here talking about Episode 7. You called it like, 5 years ago. hyperspace. By the way, the effect is sort of the newer hyperspace effect.
It's awesome.
It's like reversed. It's got a little bit of the Jedi feel.
Yeah.
But it's like a reverse angle hyperspace shot.
Yeah, you see the Falcon going into hyperspace, which is something we've never really seen before. We've seen them transitioning from real space into hyperspace, but this time it looks like we're on the other side as it comes in. Yeah. And it's a fantastic effect. Amazing.
It sure is. Oh, the title's This Christmas. We've seen that before, Jim. And then here's the shot that we discussed just a little bit ago. Paul is saying and Jeff J. believe are the Knights of Ren.
And I do, too. Now that I have a saying it.
OK,
I'm getting a better look at it right now. They are clearly not flame troopers.
You got to go back. Go back like to 121, 22 and freeze it. In fact, someone just tweeted it. I think it's the Star Wars junk dude. Tweeted a still of it. It's really grainy, but there's like a dude holding a spear and stuff like that.
Yeah, a guy holding a spear.
These are not stormtroopers.
It certainly looks like another one could be holding a lightsaber in addition to Kylo. I don't know though. Nobody else has a lightsaber in this photo except for Kylo. And it's raining. There's bodies strewn all about on this battlefield that they're standing on. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, including Kylo. There's 7 of these mysterious knights, these dark knights. These must be the Knights of Ren. And Kylo's posse. Here's another look at him, sort of a slightly different angle. It looks like Kylo's holding an additional lightsaber along with the famous one with the cross guard. It looks like he's holding something else. It could be a blaster, could be a saber. They're standing in the rain, and he's surrounded by similarly dressed warriors. So, yeah, I think we're looking at the Knights of Ren here, guys, for sure.
And which is a surprise to me because I thought that that would just be exposition that he is a member of the Knights of Ren.
Right.
And that I don't know. Somehow in my head, I just thought that he killed all of them and he's the lone one left.
I just thought it wouldn't make the final. I thought it might have been an early concept that didn't come through. But I have had this chat with Carl a few times about one of the trailers for the Old Republic where the lights come on inside the ship and it's a bunch of guys with red sabers. And I always thought that was a really thrilling shot. And Carl was immediately kind of like, no, there's only ever two, the Master and the Apprentice. And that's been established. But I always kind of thought that was such a kind of drama-reducing kind of, fact of the Star Wars universe. I always thought, well, that's kind of boring. It would be nice if there were a bunch of them because then you might actually feel like it was a fair fight, with a few thousand kind of Jedi with lightsabers and,
sure,
Sith, So I like the idea that even if these guys aren't kind of lightsaber wielding, that we've got a bunch of bad guys that have kind of got a bit of a Vader vibe. I think that's super exciting.
Now, this planet that we see the First Order troopers fighting, it looks like they're shooting towards the water where the X-Wing are coming from. This reminds me of one of the planets, I can't think of it, from that we see in Revenge of the Sith. with the water. And maybe it reminds you a little bit of like Kashyyyk.
Kashyyyk, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit like Kashyyyk when you see the Wookiees come across the water. But
really, really dynamic it's footage.
Nah, this now, the second shot here where you see perspective of the TIE fighters and the X-Wings battling, and you see that it's definitely a forest planet. Not Kashyyyk. It doesn't look to be. Now here's
no, it's not.
Poe going underneath his X-Wing with his hand on it, looking a lot like Luke.
You get a quick peek of PZ as well.
Yeah, you see him in the background behind the
long-haired... Where's PZ?
You'll see him right behind Poe. Actually behind Finn as Poe is approaching him, and Poe puts his elbow out sort of on Finn's arm, and right over Finn's shoulder, you'll see PZ back there amongst...
Oh, there he is!
There you see him amongst the Resistance troopers.
There he is!
Good old PZ.
They've done a good job of extending Greenham Common as well and putting mountains in there.
Absolutely. It's really, really a cool-looking environment. And so what are we led to believe here, though? I mean, could this be Yavin? Could this be a planet we know? Or is this a brand-new planet? We've heard rumors, but that's about it.
Yeah, I think it's Yavin. I think it's Yavin. I think they have to go... somewhere familiar. If this is truly not Tatooine and there's no loophole here at all, and this is a completely different system, this desert planet, I think they have to take us somewhere familiar. Not to mention they're going to another ice world, which is not Hoth.
If you go to 136, you would see an X-wing kind of dive bombing towards the surface of the planet, and it looks like there might be a couple of temples that are kind of Yavin-y looking. On a peninsula.
Oh, yeah. I'm right here on 136. Yeah.
Hard to tell, but it kind of has that vibe about it.
Hey, I just want to give everyone a heads up. We're expecting a phone call from WGN Radio here any minute now. You guys can hang on the line while we do an interview with them. It's going to be just a few minutes, but if you guys want to stick around for that, we can just keep talking until they call. But I just want everyone to have a heads up about that.
It's all good.
All right.
So then the explosion, which we've seen before.
Yes.
We actually saw a little behind the scenes footage in the San Diego Comic-Con reel that they had of them working on it. Didn't we see shots of them in their street clothes? What looked like their street clothes?
Yeah, it looked like
versing that run.
Right. Looked like they were wearing boxer shorts and Dago tees. So must have just been a practice. But usually with pyrotechnics of this extreme, you don't usually have a rehearsal for how, I mean, once you do it, you do it. So they must have had multiple takes on this one particular explosion. And it's very dynamic looking on the screen.
Sure. And then now we're up to the... Our first glimpse of full-bodied Han Solo as he's kind of lumbering, swaggering up to the temple that Jimmy thinks is Boba Fett's hideout.
Well, I don't know if it's Boba Fett's man cave. I was just speculating because of the banners hanging. A lot of people are saying that it could be Maz Kanata's pirate dwelling. Yeah, I do too. Now, this big giant red droid with the huge hands and what looks like to be a radar dish on top of its head. Gosh, it looks like something from the Clone Wars animated show. But I don't think that droid is necessarily with our crew here. I think we got a crew of four: Han, Rey, Finn, and BB. And this droid is just like one of those perimeter guards or something for Maz Kanata.
Now that you guys mention it, this is definitely the pirate's lair.
Yeah, this is the Pirate's Cove. This is where they're going to find Maz. Because the flags make sense. Like, it's like a pirate, you know, it's like all the different flags of all the pirates and stuff like that. All the different races and, you know, planets and stuff like that.
And I think the Boba stuff is just an Easter egg.
If that's the case, then we've got water just out of sight. Because there are peninsulas and stuff on the Pirate's Cove, and there's definitely water around them. So if that's where we are there, there's water just out of frame.
Well, I think what Paul is saying is right, but I think when he was talking about that overhead shot of the X-Wing, mm-hmm. I think this is all the same place.
Really?
You have to assume this is all the same place. I think my gut is they go to this pirate cove to find whatever they're doing there, and the First Order tracks them there.
Mm.
Mm.
And then when you have the shot of Han and Chewie with the hands in the air later, I think that's Poe and Leia, whoever's saving them.
I just
it all matches.
I'm just totally in love with that robot. Even, just the fact that it's practical.
Do we still believe that this is Luke Skywalker with his hand on R2-D2?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
100%. Yes.
I don't know.
I do.
I think
there's a lot of, you know what, guys, I got to tell you that there's speculation. And I'm hearing it in all different places that Luke's dead by the time we get to this movie, and
no way.
The only Luke that we see is Force Ghost Luke.
That would be bad. No. That would be bad.
There's no way on God's green earth.
You know, I go back to what Anthony Breznican told us when we started asking him about the death of Han Solo. He said, why in the world would Disney spend $4.5 billion to buy one of the biggest film franchises of all time just to kill off the main characters in the first film out of the box?
Big mistake.
Oh, I think that, well, I don't want to spoil my theory with this, but I think they do.
Well, where have you been, if FJ, as far as spoilers go? Where do you fall along the
you can spoil
field?
Everything. I don't care.
Yeah? Okay.
Like, I don't care. But
it's not going to ruin the movie for you.
Can I explain a theory?
Please.
That is might piss people off, but okay. The first movie of every trilogy, of the other two trilogies, first movies always end in the third act with an older, wiser character getting killed. You have Obi-Wan Kenobi, you have Qui-Gon. An older character has to die in this to motivate the younger characters into what the rest of the trilogy will be. If you do the Lucas method, which is a repetitive beat, notes of a song that never ends, you're going to have a wise older character die at the end of this movie.
General Madine.
Well, yeah, I mean, it could be anybody. I mean, the thing is, my other theory is this, and I still don't think we've seen anything from this movie. I think we've only seen maybe like 25% of this movie.
I believe you there.
You're talking about in terms of story, FJ, right?
Just in terms of visual, in terms of story, I think there's a billion things we haven't seen yet. And the only thing that sort of supported that was, I don't know if you guys read the article in the magazine Fast Company with the guy from Hasbro who runs the toy line.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When he said in the thing, he goes, it's really difficult to launch this new toy line when we only have one third of the movie to work with.
Right.
So I believe, and this is why whoever was saying before, there's a lot of recycled shots in this. There actually aren't. There's like different angles and stuff, and there's continuations of certain shots. But, you know, like Kylo sort of doing, you know, in the air with the saber and all that stuff, it's actually a different angle. But I think they're just, this is all misdirect to really like, oh, that's new, when you're really getting nothing. I think this is like the ultimate combination of JJ not wanting to reveal a lot, which he's known for, but then also, hey, we're marketing a really cool movie. And I think they've done a good job of that. The biggest shocker for me in this is how little of the story we got from this trailer. Because in the end, we still got nothing.
That's true, FJ. That's true, FJ. And I'll tell you why. Here's my philosophy on why. It's because this trailer is specifically geared toward the regular guy. The guy who may have enjoyed going to see a Star Wars film over the years and always goes to see a Star Wars film, but he's not a fan like we are. He's not a collector. He doesn't read the novels. He doesn't read the comics. He doesn't follow online. He's not part of the fan community. That's why they placed this trailer during Monday Night Football. They wanted to raise awareness. They wanted to put Star Wars stuff into this trailer to attract the average Joe, to make him aware of this.
I have said this on this podcast a million times in the last couple of years. The entire marketing campaign for this movie is to get every lapsed fan, because you got to remember, we're the first generation. I mean, I was on the younger side, but you have to understand there's guys 10, 15, 20 years older than me, or even my dad, who at a certain point after the first prequel would never go see it, who are now all going to see it because you're putting all the familiar stuff in it. These trailers are not for the four of us who are on this call.
That's right.
They're not for the guys. These trailers, and again, it's your point. It's on Monday Night Football, because guess what? My cousins who have kids, et cetera, who are like, oh, we don't like those prequels, etc. They're sitting there going, oh my God, wait a minute. Han Solo is in this movie and there's TIE fighters and X-Wings and there's red lightsabers and blue lightsabers and people fighting with them. It's the simplest marketing strategy you've ever seen. When you really, it'll be interesting to when after we see the movie that you go back and look at these trailers and you see how little and simple these trailers were. Because in the end, all these trailers did was just give a little glimpse. You know, people always complain about the Luke thing, but you forget Luke is the voiceover in the last trailer. You know what I mean? People forget that. And the hand on the droid.
Right, but I mean, I could say that Obi-Wan. Oh, wait a minute, we got the guys from WGN here. We're going to take the call.
Matt Bubala Show.
Live. Add them here to the call.
WGN Radio Chicago.
Mac.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, man? This is Pete.
Hey, Pete, how are you? Long time no talk. Pete, right now, you're live on the air on Rebel Force Radio right now as we speak.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes. What did you think of the new trailer?
This is the highlight of my career.
Oh, of course it is.
The new trailer was awesome.
Good to hear you think so. So we're coming into a friendly domain here. We're looking forward to talking to Matt. So are we doing one segment or two?
I think probably just one.
Okay.
It might be long. We might just go like till like 10:50 or something.
That's fine, my friend. That's perfect.
Okay.
So,
perfect. I'll put you on hold. You'll be with Matt Bubala.
Okay. I'm also with Jason Swank from Rebel Force Radio.
I will tell him.
All right. Awesome. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt.
You bet, buddy.
Inbound side, Lombard to Austin.
Oh, here we go. You got a traffic report.
Right now we're at 27 minutes from 355 to downtown, 16 from Wolf on the inbound.
Oh,
Stevenson.
Good. Now I won't get lost.
Seeing a slow from Black Road to US 32. Right lanes are closed there. Halsted to Lakeshore Drive. We're also seeing a left lane.
What do you
down.
Want to bet they start with the Star Wars theme?
Minutes both ways. Downtown, watch for an accident at Wacker and Randolph.
A little
and
on the nose.
Seven, we're both seeing clear, and the tolls, I-90 slow after Illinois 31. Watch on the westbound side of the Kingery Expressway, Indiana State Line to Bishop Ford. We have a right lane down right there for road work, and we're seeing slight delays. Mesmer de Leon, WGN Traffic Central.
The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 53. Tomorrow, a slight chance of daytime showers, a high of 73. Wednesday, showers and thunderstorms possible with a high of 74. Currently 64 at O'Hare, midway 65.
By the way, there's a piece on over at Forbes by
news,
Scott Mendelson that really
right
does back up everything that FJ's been saying about the marketing campaign for this movie and how it's not for the diehard fans. It's really geared toward bringing people back into the fold. So
I'm telling you, that's all it is, because we're coming no matter what.
All right, guys, here we go.
Here it is.
Nothing will stand in our way. I will finish what you started.
There are stories about what happened.
Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer that officially debuted during Monday Night Football tonight. Disney keeping it all in the family. Here at WGNplus.com, we have a Rebel Force Radio podcast. It's hosted by Jimmy McInerney and Jason Swank. It's on the phone right now. Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, Matt, how are you?
Good. Pretty big week for Star Wars fans, hasn't
it
been?
Geez, pretty big evening alone. My God, things have been going crazy over here. By the way, you're on the air right now on Rebel Force Radio. I'm here with our co-host, Jason Swank.
Excellent. You guys are recording the podcast as we speak.
As we speak. Also on the line with us are our Star Wars correspondents from London, England. We have Paul Bateman, and from Los Angeles, FJ DeSanto. So the whole gang is here, and we are ready to talk the wars.
Excellent. Well, thank you, everybody, for being with us. I didn't realize we'd have such a Star Wars roundtable here. I appreciate that. Okay. Well, then let me get to it. As a Star Wars geek, nowhere near the level you guys are, but I was 6 in 77, so this has been a major part of my life my whole life. And I am very geeked out. In fact, at the beginning of the show tonight, I got a little notice on my phone from Fandango that tickets were now on sale, and I got tickets for myself and my family for opening night.
Good call.
So I'm jazzed up. When the very first trailer started coming out, I forget if it's a full year ago now or what, but the first teasers that came out, I believe we heard Mark Hamill's voice in those trailers. In this latest trailer and in the poster, we are seeing nothing and hearing nothing of Luke Skywalker. Amongst the community that really studies this, you guys, do you guys know that there's a good reason for that, or is that a little cloak and dagger?
Well, I think the whole nature of Mark Hamill returning as Luke Skywalker in this film is very much a mystery. And it's a mystery that's going to be unraveled as the film plays out. So they are keeping it sort of under lock and key right now. What's Mark going to look like? What's his significance in the film? What's his interaction going to be like with the other characters? That's all kept a mystery. And if you look through the history of Star Wars, going back to 1980 and Empire Strikes Back, the entire promotional push for that film featured nothing of probably the most famous Star Wars character to come out of that film, and that would be Jedi Master Yoda. He was not part of any of the pre-promotional push for the film, and I believe that's because they wanted to keep his identity and his significance to the overall story as a mystery. Now, we know Luke Skywalker is going to be featured in this film in some way, shape, or form, but how? And why? That's the big mystery. It's not just lip service for fans to be hiring these legacy actors who played these characters back in the 70s and 80s to bring them back just to have a simple cameo on film, and, you know, so they can smile and wink at the fans in the audience. They're being put into this film for significant reasons. And it's not just to have, you know, a popular character from a previous film come in. I don't know. Jason, what do you think? Why are they sort of suffocating the presence of Mark Hamill?
Well, I mean, I'm looking at the one sheet right now that was released on Sunday, and Mark Hamill is second billing next to Harrison Ford. He's right between Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher. And in Hollywood, billing is everything. There's a lot tied to billing, contracts, all kinds of things. So I don't think we're looking at a Mark Hamill-less film at all. A lot of fans have speculated, and I agree, that the shot that we've seen now twice of a mechanical hand touching R2-D2, that is likely Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker. But I do think that Mark is something, you know, his character is going to be something we see towards the end. I think he's kind of he's sort of the prize of this film, and they don't want to spoil that.
So what would your guess be if you guys had to take a guess on what's going on with Luke Skywalker in this film? Is he sort of a hermit Jedi now, as Ben was in the first film? Is he maybe already turned to the dark side? Maybe we are seeing him in this poster. I know Adam Driver is supposed to be Kylo Ren. I believe that's the cross-shaped wielder of the lightsaber, right? Is that the name of that character?
Yes, Kylo Ren, who has that lightsaber with the cross guards, the laser cross guards on them. And it looks to be a very haphazard sort of beam that he has in that lightsaber. So I think that kind of represents the character himself. We're going to be dealing with probably an antagonist who doesn't necessarily have all the marbles in the jar, if you know what I mean.
Well, do you guys think there's a possibility that Luke Skywalker has gone to the dark side? I mean, there seems to be a little bit when you hear the voiceover looking at the burned out Darth Vader helmet, I'm going to finish what you started. Or when you hear Han Solo, they say there were stories. He said they were true. They were all true. That to me says, ooh, Luke did turn to the dark side. How can we get him back, or how can we stop him?
Yeah, or maybe he's been exiled for some reason. I don't know. You know, the biggest clue we have is the fact that Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote 1980's Empire Strikes Back and 1983's Return of the Jedi, the two original Star Wars sequels, as well as Raiders of the Lost Ark, when he wrote Return of the Jedi, he and George Lucas had an argument over the way Luke's character should end the trilogy. And Kasdan was leaning towards having Mark turn a little dark. I think there was something brought up in a story meeting where Luke Skywalker at the end of Return of the Jedi would pick up Darth Vader's helmet, put it on his head and say, now I'm Darth Vader. You know, something along those lines. And I think that came from the mind of Lawrence Kasdan. Lawrence Kasdan back in the fold, writing the screenplay with J.J. Abrams for The Force Awakens. So some of these abandoned ideas from the past might be coming into play. Someone who is a massive historian on Star Wars is our friend Paul Bateman from London. And I'd love to hear what he thinks. Paul, what do you think the situation is with Luke Skywalker in the film The Force Awakens?
It's anybody's guess really at this point, isn't it? But my feeling is that I think as an old school fan myself, you know, Luke is the top Jedi, I think, in the hearts of a lot of Star Wars fans. So I think for so many years to pass between movies, between the last movie that Luke Skywalker was in and the new one, I think we're all kind of expecting him to be super, super powerful. So my guess is that he's on some kind of self-imposed exile. But at this point, I mean, anything could be true. I mean, we don't know anything for a fact yet, do we? So that would be my guess.
Well, do you guys think that J.J. Abrams would be deliberately leading us down a wrong path at all with anything that they're putting out so far? Do you think they're trying to trick you into believing one thing and then we'll get something totally different?
Well, that's kind of his M.O., isn't it? F.J. DeSanto's with us. He's a filmmaker, actually. F.J. is a producer of the film The Spirit. And many others. So, FJ, what do you think about that? Do you think JJ is kind of playing games with us?
I don't know if it's playing games as much as, or an intentional misdirect, as opposed to, I'm just not giving you a lot, which is a big trend in movie marketing these days. And this is a movie that markets itself. So, you know, in my mind, I don't think he's sitting there going, you think it's this, but it's actually this. And I think it's more, hey, I'm just going to give you, you know, these nuggets and think for what, you know, you want, but come to the movie.
All right, one last question for you guys. In the poster, there appears to be a third Death Star.
Yes.
If there really is a Death Star, are we excited about that? Are we thinking, you know, if we blew up two, are we really going back to build a third one?
Here we go again. You know, that's a really interesting question, and hard to say right now. We've heard rumors about a place called Starkiller Base, and Starkiller Base may be a planet that's been converted into some sort of super weapon, but I don't really know. And you know, there are very similar themes that sort of ring through the echo chamber with Star Wars films. George Lucas was famous for mirroring a lot of the things he did in the original trilogy when he created the prequel trilogy. So we might be seeing something similar of that nature happening in this new trilogy, but we'll just have to wait and see.
And last question, guys, is your guess that the characters we're bringing back from the original trilogy, are they going to stay with us for more than one film, or would your guess be some of them make a cameo here, and then this is really about introducing the new characters and moving on with them?
Not long ago, I was referencing a conversation on the show that we had with Entertainment Weekly's Anthony Bresnikan, and Anthony is the guy with Entertainment Weekly who covers the Star Wars beat, and he's a very good source as far as getting some inside scoop on things. And Anthony just had a way of putting it on the show when he said Disney didn't spin $4.5 billion to buy the most famous film franchise of all time, only to kill off its most popular characters in the first film. So take that with what you will, but you also have to keep in mind that in the first film of the previous two Star Wars trilogies, as F.J. DeSanto brought up earlier tonight on Rebel Force Radio, the first films of those two trilogies featured the death of an elder, venerable mentor. So we might be seeing a similar theme in The Force Awakens just by looking at the past.
Admiral Ackbar, you think Admiral Ackbar is going to get it?
It's a trap!
It's Rebel Force Radio. You can catch it at WGNplus.com, hosted by Jimmy Mack and Jason Swank. Thank you. Thank you to your roundtable. You guys keep taping, okay?
Oh, thank you, sir. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thanks, guys. We'll check in with you guys as we get closer to December 18th.
Hey, don't steal Wendy's coats.
Star Wars The Force Awakens, which you can find online, the new trailer, at least right now.
At 10:20, Elvira, the...
All right, there you go.
He steals Wendy's Cokes out of the fridge. Wendy, my wife, does middays on WGN, and I've heard stories about Matt Bubala stealing her Diet Coke. So,
all right, we have our guests here for just a little. By the way, have you heard from Kyle? Is Kyle joining us?
I haven't heard from Kyle, but Sam is going to be ready to go in about 10 minutes.
Okay.
We'll tag out and let Sam come in.
Yeah. So we're looking at the shot here now. This is the second time we've seen this of the ungloved mechanical hand of the cloaked figure with sort of a white shirt or jacket reaching out towards kind of lovingly touching the dome of R2-D2. More of the First Order stormtroopers. And a very, as we mentioned earlier, a very emotional, distraught Rey. I almost want to say this looks like there's something furry near her. I don't know if this could be Chewie or what, but she's certainly crying over something.
Chewie, you're wet.
Yeah, but the next shot, he has a bandage on him. So.
Yes, yes. And then the next shot, Chewie bandaged up.
Zapped in the arm.
Yeah. And this, I couldn't help but this remind me of, you know, the Battle of Endor when they think that their goose is cooked and it ends up Chewie being in the AT-ST. She's wounded. All right. And BB-8, I think this is the first time we've actually seen an up-close shot of BB-8 in the R2 position of the X-Wing, right?
Yeah.
I think we saw it in the toy, but that's cool. And
is that the black X-Wing? That's the black X-Wing,
that's
right?
The black X-Wing, yeah.
Cool.
So this is...
Because he's posed droid, right? He's posed droid.
You know, is he posed droid, or
does he
end up being posed droid?
I think he starts off as posed droid. And let me... It's further to what you were saying earlier, in that I think... Because also what sort of implies is the shot that's missing from this trailer that was in the teaser stuff over the weekend is Poe with the rifle with an X-Wing in back of him in the dark. And there's a shot in the previous trailer of him sort of running underneath it that sort of matches that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how BB-8 ends up on Jakku. I think he's with Poe and they get separated because he gets captured by Kylo or whoever. And, you know, he's forced to fend for himself, and that's how he meets Rey.
Now, don't we know that there, based on some of the materials, the literature that's come out, that there's a connection between Poe's mother and Princess Leia?
Yes, and I'll tell you my theory of this, is if you read the Shattered Empire comics, and I'm spoiling, you know, but there's three issues out, is that series is based around Poe's mother, who is a fighter pilot for the Rebellion. So you see how she factors into the Battle of Endor. And then her husband, Commander Dameron or Lieutenant Dameron, I forget his name, is part of Han's team that takes out the shield generator.
Mm.
So I think, because remember, at Comic-Con, Oscar Isaac said he was on a mission from a certain princess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's grown up knowing Princess Leia. Because the current issue of Shattered Empire is an entire issue devoted to Poe's mother and Princess Leia going on a mission together, and he's already born.
All right, so that might be then the connection between Poe and BB-8, is that he is BB-8 is his droid, and then BB-8 is also dispatched to perhaps locate the lightsaber.
Yeah, and you see them positioned together in the poster. Also,
and you also see BB-8 in the Poe Dameron Hasbro toy, the Poe Dameron X-Wing.
Yeah,
yeah. Right.
So
right.
He's in there. Yeah.
So is that how you get it? Does that BB-8 come out of that thing?
No, he doesn't. Unfortunately, all right, so
you still have to buy that 3-pack in order to get the BB-8 in the 4-inch scale. Okay, so more. This is over the ice planet. So more TIE fighter X-Wing action. Stormtroopers running down the landing plank.
Dude, before you go on, you've got to comment on the first shot of that planet with the chasm. It looks to me like
the Death Star trench.
It's a Death Star trench.
Is that clearly like it's probably concealed, like the fact that it's some kind of a space station because it's all covered in snow.
Yeah,
and at some point,
Well, we see this planet in the poster, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, it looks
I think that's it. Yeah,
it looks like the snow is going to kind of, you know, reveal the cracks in the opening in the trench. And
yeah, we had a hard time determining whether or not that was a trench or a wall, but I think as you look closer, it's a trench.
It's a trench.
We're going to have a trench run, baby.
If you follow the design, and I shouldn't say this with Paul on the air because he's the artist, you can see like a platform, and it looks like, to me, the Starkiller base is actually almost like, I'm going to get really nerdy here again, like in Star Trek. Remember Star Trek, they did the Genesis Cave where they mm-hmm. built the thing inside like a dead planet?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they might have built a space station within a planet.
Yeah, this is like an organic Death Star.
Yeah, that's my theory.
Yeah, it's a living, breathing Death Star. And that plank that you see looks like where they were holding that rally that we saw earlier. Could we be looking at, in this sequence, could this be the final battle of the film? Is this the big finale?
I think it certainly could be.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I think the thing I like about this is, you know, like, I mean, FJ mentioned the whole kind of stanza thing that George quite often, you know, comments on in terms of kind of repeating the same type of story with variations, you know, with Anakin and Luke and what have you. I think the thing that excites me about this is that maybe this time around what we're going to get is something where we have that repeating stanza, but that we get a lot more surprises. Because I think that something that the prequels were criticized for a lot, I think, was a certain amount of predictability on that front, you know, in that, you know, a lot of it did kind of play out like you expected, just purely because we knew what was going to happen to Vader, and dramatically you're in a difficult position because he's telling a story that, you know, takes place before the stories we've already seen. Whereas with this, you know, I think that we can have a few surprises. So even though, you know, we kind of think we've got the measure of this, I think that however much it can repeat from before, I think we're going to get a lot less of, you know, the whole kind of I've got a bad feeling about this. We're going to get a lot less kind of, you know, familiarity. And I think the Luke Skywalker character of this trilogy is going to be Daisy. That's my guess. And I think a lot of the characters are going to be much greyer than we've had before. And I think we're going to get something very new, even though so many of these things visually kind of, you know, tick boxes that we're so accustomed to. I just think all these interviews you've seen with Larry Kasdan, and I don't care how much you pay that guy, I'm not convinced that there's anything other than a very real passion about his own writing and a very real passion about the story that they've been able to tell here. So I think I can't see Larry Kasdan getting that excited about a story without there being a huge amount of originality and newness to it. So I think this tale is not necessarily what we see at face value. I think we're going to get something that maybe surprises us all. But that's what I'm getting from this. What about you guys?
I think you're right. I hope that there's more new than there is recycled. I'm with you. I think, you know, there's got to be, and I have a bad feeling about this. Mm. There's got to be maybe even, and it's not my fault. I mean, some of this stuff just has to be in there. But, you know, one would argue that the prequels, you know, seemed very, very different from the originals, and perhaps they strayed too far away because they were very different in tone and texture and style than the original. So I wonder if that might be, I mean, this on the one hand, Paul, you're right. This has got to be more than a nostalgia trip. It's got to be more than a nostalgia trip in order to
push it forward.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
But that's the marketing. It goes back to the conversation about the marketing.
Yeah.
That's all it is the marketing is going to show you all the nostalgic stuff to get you in. And then they're going to hit you with Luke, and they're going to hit you with a whole bunch of holy crap moments. You see, I'm being good tonight.
Thanks, FJ.
All right, so we've got the troopers running down the gangplank, and Daisy.
Sorry, I got cut off there. Sorry.
No, that's all right.
Were you done, FJ? It sounded like we kind of.
Now this is interesting.
No,
we see some. We see some ground to air combat, which is something that we. I don't think we've ever really seen this in Star Wars before.
God, I love it. Does that not look cool to see these ships flying in direct sunlight? Mm-hmm. And they're up in, you know, they're in the lower atmosphere. You still see clouds surrounding them as an X-Wing chases a TIE down into the atmosphere. It looks like something out of a World War II film, which is perfect because that's exactly what the dogfights were based on to begin with in the original trilogy. But this is just a stunning shot. I had to take a screen grab of this and use it as our cover photo on the Rebel Force Radio Facebook page, at least temporarily, because it's so striking. Such good photography. And it looks real. It just looks, it has a real feel. It doesn't feel all CG to me. It feels like these are real ships flying in a real atmosphere, having real battle.
Same goes for the troopers, though, too, right? I mean, it's nice to have real people in suits.
Yeah.
You know, it just, you're feeling, you know, the urgency, you're feeling the reality that these are actually people that can get hurt, where you know, I know a lot of folks, you know, much as I love the clones, I hated the fact that they were all computer generated. I wanted to see people in suits, you know. So, you know, I'm very, very glad that we've got back to people in armor, you know. I think that's a great idea. But, you know, we're going to care a lot more.
It's a huge difference maker. Paul is dead on. I mean, it's going to be the difference between everything. There's going to be corny robots and corny things and stuff like that. But because they're real, you're in that world and you want to stay there. And that's what everybody wants from this. You just want to go back to this world and learn more about it. And absolutely, that's where I think even just in this marketing campaign so far, they've succeeded in that.
All right. The what has now become a very iconic shot of Kylo Ren turning with what looks to be a force push. And then a little bit of action. And finally, one of the big money shots, and I took a little pot shot. That was probably offsides. I don't want to diminish the impact of what we see here, which is Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia being embraced by Han Solo.
Glenn Close.
She looks fantastic.
She does look good.
I won't hear a bad word about her. She looks amazing.
Got a little bit of gray going in, and all right, now we've got, I love this. We've got, this is what we saw on Instagram. This is Finn lighting the lightsaber. This is clearly Luke's lightsaber from The Empire Strikes Back, Anakin's lightsaber. And this is a hoodless and maskless Kylo Ren. You can tell by the hair. This is Adam Driver approaching him. And guys, is it me or does Finn look like he's ready to soil himself in this shot?
That's what makes it great.
Yes.
I'll tell you what Finn's ready to. I'll tell you, Finn is going to lose an arm, I guarantee you.
Go, FJ.
I literally texted before we were on this. I was texting some friends, you know, who were, and I said, the money shot of this whole thing, exactly what you said. I said, the key to this entire thing is watch Finn's face when Kylo Ren's approaching him. He loses his shit, okay? And
there it is.
Sorry. But the thing is, but it's that emotion. You never saw anything like that in the prequels. Like, no, that's genuine fear. That's Empire Strikes Back, Cloud City, lightsaber fight fear.
Yeah.
On the nose.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's acting. That is a well-crafted moment that you have to assume this is the third act of the movie and an important moment because you get the impression, based on what we know, is Kylo Ren wants that lightsaber. You know, he wants to kill these kids, et cetera, and he's going to do it. And who knows how they get out of it, if they get out of it, but just Finn's face is everything you felt when you were a kid when you saw Darth Vader.
Mm. Indeed, and that's it. That's the trailer.
And that's the trailer, and let's just, you know, look at what we were just talking about there. Fear. And we've talked about two characters weeping. This movie, it seems like, is going to be filled with emotion. And that was a big criticism of the prequels, was that it lacked some of that humanity. It lacked some of the emotion, but here it looks like we're going to be getting a lot of it. And I mean, everything from Finn's, you know, pooping his pants look when that saber that with the cross guard gets lit up right in front of his face to, you know, why is Leia crying? That's the thing that affects me on emotional level, seeing this trailer and just this trailer. So I'm seeing Leia cry out of context. And as a lifelong Star Wars fan, I look at that and I say, oh, my God, we have to comfort our princess now. And I feel so helpless that I don't know what the problem is. I don't know what to say to her to make her feel better. And just considering that, considering the evolution of these characters, these legacy characters that we grew up with and we've known since the 70s, and to see now that they're getting this new, there's going to be a new take on these characters. You thought the prequels changed the way we looked at the original trilogy? Wow, I think that this trilogy will really affect the way we look at the original trilogy, because we're getting the same players. And so obviously their characters are going to evolve and they're going to become maybe someone different to us by the time they've had their journey through this film.
And we're going to find out what happened to all these people in the 30 years. It's going to be really awesome.
There's a shot that we didn't mention that's about 50 seconds in, and it's Kylo on the bridge of a Star Destroyer by the look of it. And it's open to interpretation, because we could be looking at an extremely powerful laser beam traveling slowly through space, or we could be looking at a burning ship or something of that ilk, but it looks pretty significant. But what tickled me was serious lens flare going on.
Oh, yes, I'm looking at it. Yeah, we're stopped at 50 seconds in. Yes, very. This looks like this could have been right out of Star Trek Into Darkness. But I think, Paul, what this is them firing up the super weapon.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think you're right. But, I mean, it's one of those things where you could just kind of zoop by it and not really think about it. But when you look at it, it looks pretty serious, like an important shot. It reminds me of kind of Vader looking out of the window of the story, you know, kind of thinking about Luke. So it feels like something with some weight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, guys, this has been amazing. Amazing. I can't think of any group that I would rather be talking to in a moment like this. This is tremendous. And not the fact that there was just a trailer, but this is a trailer that it didn't just invade popular culture. It invaded football culture here in the United States. It was an interesting marketing play for them to debut the trailer.
Well, as you hear, we took in that phone call from WGN News. I mean, this is a mainstream event. This is a big deal happening right now. And it's not just for us fans. They're reaching out, and we're going to find Star Wars fandom is going to become a very crowded place come December. I guarantee it. Hey, can you know what? Before we wrap this up, I mean, there is another. Sam Witwer is standing by right now, and he wants to jump in.
Oh, dude, we're going to be going for another half hour.
Well, let's just let Sam talk.
Let Sam talk. I'm going to hop off.
Okay. I'm sorry, man. I got to go to bed.
All right. You go to bed. You guys all crash. I'm going to talk to Sam. Sounds good.
Well, we should at least do a sign off.
I can stage you.
You know what? We don't need you guys for that. Me and Paul will handle the sign off.
All right. That's fine.
We don't need you.
I see how this is.
We're not going to leave Sam Witwer hanging, right, Paul?
All right. Yeah. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. See you later. Bye. Jason. Our special guest, Jason Swank.
Thanks, guys.
And FJ DeSanto leaving now. And, Sam Witwer will know who his real friends are after this, I'm sure. But, all right, let's bring him on board, Paul. What do you say? Let's get Sam Witwer in here. Hey, Sam, you there?
Yes.
There he is.
What's up?
So, Sam, I don't know if there's anything really to talk about tonight, but I just thought I'd call you up, see how you're doing. Just checking in, How is everything?
It's good. Just uneventful day, like there, every other.
You know, there is this one little thing, though, a little sidebar here. There was a new Star Wars trailer tonight. I don't know if you happened to catch it.
What?
Yeah. It was on during Monday Night Football. Do you believe that?
What are you talking about, a new Star Wars trailer?
I swear to God, I wouldn't make this up. But,
dude, come on. If there was a new Star Wars trailer, I think I'd know about it.
So, Sam, we know you know about it. We know you've probably seen the trailer about 500 times at this point. So
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
So let's cut this. Oh, by the way, Sam, I'm on the line here with Paul Bateman.
Hey, Paul.
How you doing, dude?
Paul stuck around. Swank and FJ DeSanto bailed on us. But I think we're in this for the long haul. I think there's a lot more left to be said about the trailer. We broke it down basically frame by frame. And We just want to get your take on a few things, Sam. I saw you were tweeting like crazy after the trailer debuted. Obviously,
you don't know me. You don't know me. What are you talking about? You don't know anything about me.
Obviously, in very good company, but you jumped on something right away was the fact that we were seeing symbols of the Mandalorian warriors swinging from these banners outside of this mysterious dwelling that Han Solo is walking toward with Rey and Finn and BB-8. So what do you make of those banners?
They certainly look like the stuff that was on Boba Fett's armor.
Yeah.
At least two of those symbols.
So why the symbolism? A lot of people have been saying, hey, that's probably Maz Kanata's pirate domain. I don't know.
I don't even know who that is.
You don't?
But no, who's Maz Kanata? I have no idea who that is.
Wow, okay. This is interesting. So, Sam Witwer, you've been remaining spoiler-free.
You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. I've been remaining spoiler-free. You got it.
Maz Kanata, of course, is Lupita Nyong'o.
Don't do
character.
This to me. What are you doing? Am I spoiling?
Am I spoiling?
What are you doing?
Well, I didn't think a name would spoil things.
Who's Lupita? I have no. Who is that?
Lupita. Yes. Okay.
Lupita, dude. I remain spoiler free in life as well. I try to not know as much as I possibly can, and that's how I'm. Everything is a surprise. So don't even tell me who the actress is.
That's
don't
how you roll. I'm not saying another word.
Who is this? I don't want to know. Just ask your questions and let's get this over with. But I'd rather not know who I'm talking to.
All right. Well, let's just. I got to be careful here. Let's dig into your head a little bit and
fine.
And let's talk about the things that we see in this trailer. Okay.
Okay.
And the one thing when I think of Sam, when I think of you and the way you sort of analyze Star Wars.
I don't do that. That's not a thing that I would do. It doesn't even sound like
No. But if you were to analyze Star Wars.
If I was.
Yeah. I think you'd be, you know, very analytical about it. And
I might.
there's a line of dialogue that Han Solo shares with Rey. She questions him about the legend of Star Wars, it seems.
Because she hasn't seen the movies, yeah.
Because she hasn't seen the movies.
Because she's spoiler-free. This is what I'm talking about. Anyway, go on.
Okay, I'm following you here, okay? I'm starting to see the tail wag the dog a little bit here.
There we go.
But so what do you make of that what Solo says about where she says there's been stories about this sort of thing. He says it's all true. He says the dark side, Jedi Knight. What does that tell us about the state of the galaxy in the time period between the end of Return of the Jedi and the events of The Force Awakens?
You know what I love about it is that the Empire was able to convince the public at large that the Jedi Knights were a crazy cult and that the Force wasn't real. And even the Imperial military officers, some of which who were old enough to know better, did not believe in the Force. It was not encouraged to believe in it. And the Rebel Alliance took up May the Force be with you as their rallying call to sort of bring back some magic into the world and bring back some hope and inspiration. So it seems that beyond that, you know, perhaps balance to the Force had been achieved and Luke Skywalker was like, okay, I'm out. Balance has been achieved. Why mess with it? I mean, the Jedi Council was great for its time, but it definitely became dogmatic. It became too old for its own good in terms of the way that they did things. And why don't I just take a step back and observe a little bit? I mean, I don't even know what's been happening. So maybe Luke like took a vacation or something. I don't know, dude.
Do you think that Luke could be in exile? Do you think that could be a possibility?
Or he could be in exile. Maybe he was prevented from training new Jedi Knights. But in any case, Palpatine's thing about making people not believe in the Force seems to have moved on to the next generation. And because at this point, people who actually even knew or saw a Jedi Knight would be very old at this point. I mean, you know, way before Han Solo's time, yeah, no one would believe that a Jedi Knight could possibly be a real thing. And what was so wonderful was hearing Harrison Ford, you know, the guy who just a few short years ago was saying, you know, Oaky religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side, kid. Kid, I've flown from one side of this galaxy to the other. I've seen a lot of strange stuff, but I've never seen anything. It's going to make me believe there's one all-powerful force controlling everything. And now later, he's a Jedi, the Force, the dark side. It's all real.
It's all real.
I think he's saying it in the same place, too.
Oh, yeah, he might be, yeah.
Oh, my God, Paul, you're right. He's saying it in the same spot.
He's right there where he said simple tricks and nonsense all those
simple
years ago.
Simple tricks and nonsense.
That's.
I thought it was simple tricks and nonsense.
It's kind of interesting, you know, as someone who followed the expanded universe, to kind of see how the character of Luke Skywalker became something of, gosh, a borderline celebrity, because so many people were aware of his heroics during the Galactic Civil War, post-Jedi in the books. And now here it appears we're going down a completely different path with The Force Awakens, where, you know, even the concept of what actually happened there on the Death Star 2 and Endor is a complete mystery to a lot of people.
How do you know that? Is that something that
I get that from what Rey says to Han Solo, you know, when she's questioning him about the past, about those stories. And he says, right. It's all true. So that leads me to believe that you could only get the truth if you found someone who actually witnessed those events. These were not being written about in the history books. They were not being reported on the 5 o'clock news, and they did not make headlines in your local newspapers. Well,
furthermore, they wouldn't make any sense to anyone. Can you, you know, you're like, me and David Collins were talking about this the other night. You have Luke Skywalker coming back from, you know, after the Battle of Endor. Hey, Luke, how's it going? And then he tells his friends, and they get it. Story gets out, and they go, so wait a second. So during the Battle of Endor, we have this massive battle on the surface to destroy the deflector shield, and then we had a big space battle. And you're telling me that Emperor Palpatine was unarmed and dared you to kill him, but you knew he shouldn't, and then you were trying to not fight Darth Vader, and then at the end he threw him down a shaft. What do you say? I get what Akbar was doing. I understand what Wedge was up to. I get what Lando was doing and Han and Leia. What the hell was Luke doing? Because we needed him during this whole thing, and he went off on some weird thing. I don't know what, and then he supposedly came back with Darth Vader's body, but we never saw it. He said he burned it. Is weird. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, what they would have taken away was like, but I guess the Emperor's dead and we're surely not seeing him. So good job, Luke. I don't get it. I don't get what he was doing. But you know what? He probably did something good. So you got to imagine like that story, if it got out, would be some sort of strange apocryphal legend, right? Like a story about like how the Beatles were really formed, right? I don't know.
Mm. Interesting. You know, in the Shattered Empire comic, which is supposed to be, you know, part of the journey to the Force Awakens, they reveal that there are Imperial factions who are spreading the word that the Emperor has not been killed. And that was just a bunch of rebel propaganda. And they try to continue to make members of the Imperial Navy and the general population. They want people to believe that the Emperor is still alive. So there's a lot of fallacy going on. You know, the Star Wars universe is not unlike our own, where, you know, the machinations going, you know, behind closed doors among the leaders of civilized nations. You know, most of that stuff we don't hear about on the 9 o'clock news. So it just seems it seems like maybe the Star Wars universe is paralleling the real world in that case. You know, why would everyone know? And just like you said, Sam, you know, people wouldn't get it. They just wouldn't make sense.
It
wouldn't make any sense.
So. Course, the other thing. Sorry, Paul, go for it.
Thanks, Sam. I mean, of course, we're assuming that they're talking about the stuff that we're familiar with, the stories that we've already seen, but they could be talking about the 30-year period that we don't know about. So they could be, you know, they could be sort of saying what, you know, they could be talking about what they hear happened to Luke or, you know, another part of the story that we just know nothing about. So it's easy to kind of come to that conclusion that, you know, the original trilogy is now kind of almost fictional in the eyes of people, but there were plenty of folks about. So who knows? Maybe it's not, maybe they're talking about something else. I mean, because there is this big mystery as to what's happened to Luke, and maybe these folks kind of have an idea about it and Han knows for a fact what happened, but yeah. I don't know. It's all up in the air, isn't it?
but wonderfully up in the air, you know, because we're kind of, hopefully, I get the feeling that we're going to be kind of in Ray's shoes where we don't know what the hell happened, you know? And she's trying to, she's been out somewhere and not, you know, having to catch up on what the hell is actually going down, which is really a fantastic place for a protagonist to be. But you know what's great? I'm looking at this still of her, and she looks a hell of a lot like Natalie Portman, but there's something Hamill-esque in her features. I don't know. She looks a little bit, there's a look she gives when she's sitting at that table that looks like, you know, looks. It reminds me of young Luke, which is
Sam,
awesome.
Should we take a cue from the music that they used for this trailer? Think the Han and Leia theme, which you hear kind of it's really predominant in the middle part of this trailer. Do you think that might be any indication as to...
I'm spoiler-free, but I now know who Rey is, which she's Han and Leia's kid.
Well, there you go.
Has to be. I mean, if she's the focus of the trailer and the first thing you hear is Han and Leia's theme, which is, by the way, so great to hear that again. That's so cool. Here's a piece of trivia. When was the last time we heard Han and Leia's theme?
Han and Leia's theme, well, it would have had to have been... I mean, are we talking chronologically, or are we talking...
In terms of in our lives.
In our lives? Well, I think at the end of Revenge of the Sith, you hear briefly on Alderaan when Leia's...
No, that's... No? You hear Leia's theme on Alderaan.
Oh, okay, all right. Where do you hear that?
It's when they just kind of hook up in Return of the Jedi.
Yes, Paul, and you would be right if they didn't make a show called The Clone Wars. When Yoda finally is starting to get it that being involved in this war, they've already lost the moment the Jedi have become generals, and the Jamie King character, the whatever that floating, those floating people are, if they're the Wills or whoever teaches Yoda, who they train Yoda, and they say, you know, they start telling him that there's, you know, there is another Skywalker, and Yoda says there is another Skywalker, and you hear as he's walking, as he's dealing with this, it's like he's being shown very briefly everything that's going to happen to him. And at the end you hear, so you get a moment of Han and Leia, like that they will become significant.
Interesting. That is a cool little thing. You filed away. You filed away just for today.
I filed it, man.
That was good filing. So, Sam, something that kind of had us sort of scratching our heads was one sequence in particular. I think it was two shots featuring Kylo Ren, and he's surrounded by guys who seem to be wearing clothes similar to him or a helmet similar to him. They definitely weren't stormtroopers or flametroopers. They were standing in the rain in a battlefield with a bunch of bodies surrounding them. And we're led to believe that they are the Knights of Ren. Now, I know you're spoiler free, but have you been made aware of the Knights of Ren through comics?
Yeah, they say ni, right?
Somehow I knew that was going to come up. But no, this is actually, you know, JJ revealed at, I think it was Comic-Con that Kylo Ren is member of the sect called the Knights of Ren. So I think we might be seeing them in the rain. I don't know if you caught that one, Sam.
I don't know who this guy is. Sam, and I don't want to know, dude.
Understood. And, you know, I'm spoiler-free myself.
Sure you are.
Well, for the most part. I mean, I know what I know, but I don't seek out stuff. You know, I'm not Kyle Newman. I don't.
You know, not with that attitude.
No. Right. No. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but I'm like you, Sam. I mean, I want to go into this film with at least some sort of fresh perspective. I don't want to be expecting everything to happen.
Right. Yeah. Well, keep running your show and see what happens. just keep doing the Rebel Force Radio, and we'll see how long you remain spoiler-free, because I don't think it's going to work.
We're less than 2 months away from the opening of the film. I have a chance. I have a chance here. You know, coming into this, I said to myself, I'm going to be spoiler-heavy, because I felt like it was almost like my job to know everything. But I'm enjoying ignorance more than I thought I would.
Yeah. Oh, I enjoy ignorance on a daily basis. It has nothing to do with Star Wars. I just really like it. It Very works nice. For me, I guess. So, I mean, if it didn't work for me, I wouldn't know. I'm too ignorant.
Sam, what are we missing here? There has to be something that only a Sam Witwer could have picked up from this trailer.
Well, I picked up the Mandalorian thing. By the way, I'm kind of paging through the trailer right now. I love this gorgeous shot of her rappelling into the Star Destroyer hangar bay.
Mm.
That's
yes.
amazing stuff. I love it. I love it. And this is, here's Sam what we're talking. It looks like a hangar bay of an Imperator class, except I don't see the claws that hang down beyond the opening of the hangar bay itself. If you look across, you see the opening, then you see... No, that's definitely an Imperator. Has to be. I don't think it's a Super Star Destroyer. I think that's Imperator. On the other hand, the Super Star Destroyer also had a lot of those... They had the same types of modules built in there.
Mm-hmm.
Look what a huge geek. Huge
well, yeah, you know the difference.
BB-8 looks super cute.
JJ's a big gamer, isn't he? So I guess... You know, he might be nodding the hat to computer games too. There could be something in there from one of the Star Wars computer games.
Is there?
There could be. You know, if he's because he's very open about the fact he's a massive gamer, isn't he? So wouldn't
you're spoil. Going to if you know something, Paul, spoil.
I wish you did.
Paul knows probably more than he should. But speaking of the most spoiled guy in Star Wars fandom. There
hey.
He is. Kyle Newman.
Kyle Newman's here.
Wait, who's Kyle. The most spoiled guy in Star Wars fandom?
The guy that needs to turn his speakers down.
Yeah, yeah.
Same guy.
Please turn your radio down. We know now.
Explain.
Explain. Well, there's a contrast going on here because Sam is spoiler free and you are
spoiled. I thought you meant like I'm spoiled just because I'm getting all these ugly carded action figures before everyone else or something.
Well, there's that too, Kyle. Let's be
but
honest.
But I'm not. I go and wait in line for Force Friday and...
Kyle.
They had any figures at Toys R Us.
I was with you at Force Friday. We didn't get any figures at Toys R Us.
Yeah, it was rough. I mean, I got three things I didn't want.
Well, you know, Force Friday...
You're lying to the audience right now. Anyway, go
on. Of course he is.
At Force Friday, I got a bobblehead from Funko. I got a stuffed hood ornament Kylo Ren that could maybe dangle from my windshield. And I'm trying to think what else I got. It was a Kylo Ren with his tongue sticking out, and there's a lollipop, and you could suck on it. It was like that bad. And thankfully, Seth Green, a.k.a. Santa Claus, came over and saved the day because he brought over a couple action figures.
Oh, that's how you got your stuff.
That was great.
Okay.
That was
great. Fair enough.
It was not down to the awesomeness of Force Friday. It was down to Seth's awesomeness.
Did he bring Seth. You a PZ?
Oh, yeah. PZ. Yeah. Can't get enough of that guy.
Fantastic.
Did you see PZ in the trailer, Kyle?
If I did, I blacked it out.
Well, there actually is a shot of PZ at that moment when John Boyega comes off of his X-Wing and he sees Finn and he taps him on the shoulder. You see right over Finn's shoulder, PZ is there and he is making...
Are you kidding me?
Yes,
really?
He is making his appearance. So go ahead and freeze frame that one. And I like PZ. Why am I the only one who likes PZ?
It's a sympathy vote.
Maybe. I just cheer for the underdog or the... Or the extended neck. But so, Kyle, bringing you into this, you've probably seen the trailer 500 times at this point. So I'm just going to put the ball in your court and just ask you for something, just the one thing that really stood out from the trailer to you.
I think it had a great emotion to it. And what I liked about it was I just got a good feel for the essence of who these characters are. It sounds like, you know, Kylo had his little moment. He gets a little bit of a line and it just sounds like he's obsessed with a legacy and fulfilling something that was, where the mantle may have been dropped.
There is an interesting, I'd like to bring up that Kylo, in terms of what he seems to be after, whose legacy he's looking to follow. It's not the Emperor's, it's Vader.
It is Vader. Which means he's privy to the knowledge that Vader was a chosen one. I mean, all of those things, if you really look at the, you know, the mythology, that's not stuff that was public information. Everyone knew the Emperor was, you know, tyrannical and at first, you know, seemingly benevolent, and he got into this position where it seemed like he was helping the Republic, but he was ultimately a bad guy. A great majority of people discovered that, but nobody really knew that Vader was who he was, unless you read one novel that's now canon. And
which we will not talk about. Oh, yeah, God.
Shall not be named. It's not a bad novel except for several chapters. And then, but they didn't know that that was what his destiny was. They didn't know that that he was a chosen one. They didn't know that he was destined to bring balance to the Force. So what is it that he's aiming to fulfill, and what does he know, and how would he know this information? Because that's, like I said, it's not public knowledge. So was that told to him by a Jedi or by somebody else? So how is he privy to this, and why is that his obsession? Yeah. I just think, you know, it says a lot, that line, I am no one. Yes. You know, is that exactly what the line is paraphrased?
Yeah, paraphrased.
Paraphrased, something like that. It just shows that she feels, you know, in that Luke way, that she's going nowhere and she has nothing. They show her looking up at a ship kind of taking off in the distance, and she's kind of stuck on this planet tinkering with something. It just feels like she's at a dead end in life, and maybe her self-worth is being questioned, and she wants to do something more. And it's very akin to the vibe you get from Luke, and I think that's what they're kind of going for here. Here's a character who maybe has some potential that hasn't been unlocked or it's unrealized. And then and Finn, I mean, it just sounds like a guy whose life is literally turned upside down, spins out of control. You know, there's a TIE fighter spinning away. And you know what I liked too, just, you know, I know we're talking about the trailer, but the poster, and, you know, say what you will about it, there was some really nice design work. And you know, I prefer more of the painted style. I would have preferred something a little less like black with bright saturated colors, but still a cool layout. What I liked is that Kylo Ren, his saber is running in parallel, exact parallel to Rey's staff. Now, are they saying that there's some shared path between them? And are they saying that one is one side of that and one is the light side of it and one's the dark side of it? There's like a duality to those characters. Maybe it's implied familial relation, but there's something about that's saying in that poster, there's that side of it. And that's kind of one half of her. And on the other half of her, because she's the one in the middle of this cross beams, is the blue saber and the light side, you know, as you'd accept it. So it's kind of like she's caught in the middle of two things. So I think they're trying to say a lot with the poster. And they're trying to say a lot with this trailer. You know, they're really profiling those three characters, you know, which you can see Poe Dameron really doesn't get the same kind of, you know, screen time that those three do. So I think just based on that type of, you know, time and importance, the way it opens with those three, it's saying that that is the, you know, the focus, I think, of this story, this particular chapter.
Interesting. Hey, I'm sorry. I've been dealing with some issues with Paul. Paul, are you still on the line with us? No, he says he can hear us, but
he'll always be with us.
He'll always be with us. So, Paul, we're going to cut you loose if that's cool. But thanks for weighing in on the trailer, and we'll definitely talk to you soon. Kyle, being someone who knows,
see you, Paul.
It seems like Kyle, you told me once that you feel like you know everything there is to know about this movie, and you feel like you know nothing. Do you still feel that way?
I feel like I know everything and nothing. I feel like I know enough to know I'm going to love this movie. There's been no red flags for me. And but I still, as much as I've been spoiler filled, I feel like there's enough that's vague. You know, there was somebody I was going back and forth with on the internet, a good buddy of mine, Devin Faraci, you know, and he's very opinionated, Devin, and he's very astute though. And he's like, what are they saying with this? They're really not giving away any plot. And I said, is that a bad thing? Isn't that what we want in this modern age where everybody tells you act one, two, and three and you get scenes from the finale and the opening? So I think from what I kind of gather is most of what we're seeing is from earlier in the film, outside of maybe some bigger fight stuff, dogfight stuff. It just feels bigger, like it would be at the end. So that's kind of not a bad thing. I think that's actually refreshing. The fact that we've gone through almost a year now since the debut of that trailer last Thanksgiving, last Black Friday, and what more do we really know via official channels? And what we've gotten is a pretty good portrait of the ensemble and a really good snippet of the essence of this film. And I think it's emotionally driven. My one thing I want to see with this trailer, because I didn't get it so much from the other two teasers, was grandeur, scope, scale, and maybe some thematics, you know? And I feel like I got that from just opening up with Ray and who she is and what she's up against, just as a character, you know, trapped in a place feeling like she's got nothing to offer the galaxy and suddenly being at the center of this whole thing.
Hey, you know, I was talking to WGN Radio earlier tonight and they asked me straight up, they said, specifically, do you think J.J. Abrams is misleading us and still is? I mean, Kyle, you're a filmmaker. What do you think?
It's con. Yeah. It's definitely con.
You think so?
Look, it's in his nature, and I think it's part of when he even gives like a TED conference about story. It's something that he believes in, and you know, the MacGuffins and the box, and that's, I think there's going to be elements of that. But what I don't think he's doing here is being duplicitous in the what's emotionally front and center in this story. Like, I don't think we're going to be like, guess what? Kylo Ren's a good guy, tricked you. You know, it's he's being true to what these characters are. They're trying to create new iconic characters and characters that will fit alongside legacy characters, characters that in 30 years people are going to talk about Kylo Ren and Rey and Finn in the same breath that they talk about Obi-Wans and Qui-Gons and Yodas and Mace, and you know what I mean? And BB-8 is already something. My son just walks around every time he sees him, like, BB, BB. Like, he's, you know, he chirps him out as much as he talks about R2 and 3PO just from seeing what he's seen and playing with, like, a Sphero droid. You know, there's something unique and iconic already about him. So I think that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to embed these characters in our consciousness, and they've done that successfully over the past year. I mean, I think that's without a doubt, you know, we went from being like, who are these people, to now we're just throwing off their names casually. I mean, that's how it feels to me.
Yeah.
So by the time I get in there, I feel like, all right, these characters are part of Star Wars. You know, they've got their stamps in the UK.
Yeah.
There must be legendary. And it does feel like a new beginning, you know, because one of the big challenges with, you know, completing and having the resolution that the first six movies did when you get to Jedi is that there's a culmination of fulfillment, and, you know, the family stuff is resolved in a very unique and beautiful and unexpected way. And now we get this big gap. And then, you know, there's that line in the trailer where Han says it's true, all of it, which again makes me feel like, you know, the way the difference, the gap between episode 3 and episode 4, a lot of things fell to myth, like the Jedi, who are the Jedi, and Obi-Wan explains it to Luke that they're like they were real, but there's something mythic about it. Like, if it's an oratory tradition where they're just passing down the information to select few, you know, not everybody gets it and it's not on the news. And probably all the video of what the Jedi did and the hollows of all their great battles are erased. You know, so Han in this thing is being like a bit of an Obi-Wan, passing this information on, saying, whatever you've heard about the light side and the dark and the Jedi and the Sith, it's all true.
Which is so cool to see Han Solo sing that.
Yeah, you know,
like
that's cool.
He's a completely different guy than he was when he started. Be like, oh, I've learned a lot. I've seen a lot. This is a real thing.
Yeah, and he comes off.
I've flown from one side of the galaxy to the other, yes. You know, and it's all a bunch of hokey BS. And here he is being the guy validating it.
Right. That's, and when he cool says part. It, when he says it, he seems scarred. He seems emotionally scarred by having to unleash the past again. There seems to be.
Yeah, he's been through so.
Yes.
It's implied that he's been through so much. And the other big thing I want to bring up is everybody saw the poster yesterday, and a lot of friends were like, yeah, but where's Luke? And then today people are like, yeah, but where's Luke? And let me tell you
something. Shut up.
The reason Luke isn't there is because A,
he's
they
really
want
important.
To say, where's Luke? And
yes.
They want Luke to be a mystery.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be surprised. It feels like that is part of the story. They're telling you the story. So when I was arguing with my buddy, I'm thinking, they're not telling us anything by this. But I think the absence of information is telling me a lot. It's telling me Han's been through a lot, that he's gone through a complete change. It's telling me that these characters are coming from nothing and thrust into the middle. of a galactic conflict that we're very familiar with. You don't need to explain light and dark to me. We've lived it for generations now. But Luke is missing, or Luke's not in the picture, or Luke is chosen not to be in the picture. I don't know, but Luke's not in the picture. And that's congruent in all their marketing, their poster, the action figures, the merchandise, and now this trailer. So I think that's part of it, and that's just the way JJ tells the story, and he's telling it by the absence of information right here, that Luke is a central part of this. This is the big intrigue, and maybe it's part of the plot. Who are those guys in the rain with Kylo Ren?
Yes. We're speculating they are the Knights of Ren.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
If you look, they don't look like they're all of the same. They're not sold like foot soldiers. They're wearing different armor. It looks like their faceplates are different. It looks like they're they looked more like, you know, if you had all bounty hunters dressed in black. They just felt like unique. It wasn't like they were all Emperor's Royal Guards or something. They were all individuals, which I thought says a lot. And it flickers twice. So you just get a quick little snippet of it. And it's in the rain, so I'm trying to place where that happens in the movie. I'm trying to think what else we've seen.
Well, you see the bodies all strewn around them in that battlefield. And where
else have we seen rain?
Else do we see rain? We see snow, obviously, in that forest sequence with Finn and Kylo Ren. But where else do we see the rain?
I don't know. It's night. Jakku doesn't look like it gets a ton of rain.
No, it doesn't. Hey, Sam, do you think that JJ is being misleading here, or is he just holding back?
Oh, he's holding back. And look, they're here to intrigue us. They're not here to educate us at this point. They're here to intrigue us. They're here to get us to want to see it. They're not here to explain the movie to us.
Absolutely. And Kyle, you know, being somebody who knows so much about the plot as we're going into it, don't be specific here, but was there something, an image that you saw in this trailer that made you say, I'm surprised they showed that?
No. And that's, there was, they were very, patient, I think, and, you know, judicious about what they included here. I think that's something that's commendable in this day and age. Like I said, I see most trailers and a movie's completely and utterly ruined. Mm-hmm. And, I think, if anything, I could see more. It's one of those situations where more, why can't it be now? Why can't this be tomorrow? There's that excitement to it. It's not like, okay, I've seen it. I guess I'll check it out at home. They've actually spent a pretty good year of PR and marketing, dangling a carrot that I'm hungry for.
Yeah.
I'm not like, it's not a situation where I'm left wanting in a good way. You know what I mean?
Did you get your tickets today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got two for the first day, two big sessions. I think we're going with a posse. I think Paul's coming in from England. I think, FJ will be there. So I know I'm going with Sam and David, and the only two people that are missing, really.
Yeah, I know. We're not going to make the trip to LA. We do have something big planned.
Topher's coming
opening night, but you're going to have to give him.
We'll see
our
if
best.
Topher recuts this movie into a 30-minute version. Maybe he'll take all three of the sequel trilogy and I'll cut them into one. The editor strikes back cut. I think everybody that I know is equally buzzed about this. I mean, what's your guy on a scale of like 1 to 10, what are you guys feeling?
20.
I mean, we watched it so many times. Everyone's like, look at the chills in my arm. Look at the chills. And we watched it loud. And even I watched it with James, and he's not into live action stuff as much, but he's like more, more, more. So we play it again. And he's like more, more, more.
Yeah. I found even the casual members of my family when it comes to Star Wars, as soon as the trailer had ended, they wanted to see it again. So I know that they're doing something right here. The producers of this film are doing something right. And they're obviously trying to appeal to more of a mainstream audience with this particular trailer. They're trying to raise awareness in the fact that there is a new Star Wars film coming out. Of course, fans like us obsess over it each and every day and have been since 2012. But you got to consider the fact that the mainstream audience who watches Monday Night Football are are marginally aware at best of the fact that a new Star Wars film is coming out. So, Sam, what do you think? Do you think that this trailer did the trick to get the regular people excited?
Oh, yeah. I mean, here's the advantage this movie has over, say, the prequels. These are – we now have this – okay. When Han says it's all real, he is not just conjuring images of the original trilogy. He's conjuring images of six movies.
Right.
This movie has an awareness of multi-generational Star Wars fans and casual fans. And there are, you know, there are old men and women out there who are like, I remember Han, and oh, this will be fun to have them back in the Millennium Falcon. There's a bunch of kids who are like, wow, these are the grandchildren of Anakin Skywalker. There's us who are going, yeah, I grew up with these characters. Now we have the background of all of the things that have happened. I mean, it's become a very big story. And to it's very intriguing to find out where these characters have gone. That's the fun of, you know, there's definitely fun of doing prequels, but there is a lot of fun going forward because it's like the Wild West. You know nothing about it. That first trailer that we saw for this film was the first trailer – first Star Wars trailer since 1977, where the audience knew nothing about what they were going to see. With the prequels, we knew. It's like, oh, you know, yes, we know that Anakin is going to become Darth Vader. We know this. We know that. We knew the general shape of the story. This, we don't know anything. We just know the characters, and we know what has come before. That's a very exciting place to be.
Absolutely. Well, thanks a lot, you guys. Sam, I know you got a burrito that's calling your name. Mm-hmm. And
Sam Whitworth, eat me.
I will. I'm going to do it.
And Kyle, of course, we couldn't do a show like this without having you weigh in, so I'm so glad
you're
able to.
Yeah, I'm sorry if you guys were trying to reach me sooner. But we're actually playing a little bit of we're doing a little Star Wars role-playing kind of fresh up over here. Sam's our wonderful game master. We're neophytes, so we're doing a little.
So this is for me. You guys are you're brushing up on the rules for me, huh?
Well, you know, everyone's new to it, the dice, everything, the mechanics of it, you know, and then like figuring out their characters and how to actually play it, you know.
Wow. So you guys have to have little study sessions to keep up with Sam.
That's Sam's right, man.
I'm going to tell you something out there. If you ever get the opportunity to role play with Sam, next level. Next,
I don't know about that.
It is,
but thank
it
you,
is.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's. I mean, all I drove around this morning. Rumors of theaters being open, selling tickets, all to my waste and dismay. But finally got tickets, and then was able to like breathe and know that I was going to see this movie assuredly, and then got to watch the trailer. I mean, it was a big Star Wars day again. They just keep lining up these big days, you know?
Huge.
What's next?
Well, we're 59 days away from what's next.
You know what's great, though, is like, what's next? Oh,
what's
God.
Next is
Star Wars Rebels. Yeah, and then 16. We have Star Wars Rebels. We have Battlefront. We have a lot of what's next. And then finally, at the end of that road is Star Wars The Force Awakens. So we're going to do okay. I think we're doing all right this year.
In February when this all dies down. Maybe the movie's not in the theater anymore.
Right.
Oh, what are we going to do? And we got to wait like 10 months for one.
Not 10 months.
I'm positive right now because, you know what? Like I said, like if you're near a theme park, November 16th, it's amping up. Finally going to see the difference between Jakku and Tatooine on Star Tours, which is zero. That is still my only gripe with everything I've seen and heard so far about this film. But I'm excited. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, anytime, you guys. Of course, you're family here to us at Rebel Force Radio, and we're going to be talking to you again, especially when that film opens up. So thanks again, you guys, for weighing in on the trailer, and we'll catch up with you soon, probably on Rebels Declassified.
Yes, Rebels. Yes. Good, so good.
Yeah, awesome. The clones, they're back.
All right, Star Wars fans, that'll do it. Our final trailer reaction show for The Force Awakens. Yeah, sure, there'll be TV spots coming along the way and other promotions, but nothing beats the impact on us fans more than the release of a full theatrical trailer. And what we saw was pretty darn amazing. Really, really ramps up my anticipation for this film. So glad you were here with us tonight to hear what we thought about the film. Be sure to keep leaving us voicemails at the official Rebel Force Radio voicemail line. That number, of course, is 708-320-1737 or 708-320-1RFR. We'll be coming at you later this week with your reaction on a special show devoted to listener reaction to the third and final trailer for Star Wars The Force Awakens. You heard from us. We want to hear from you. Be sure to leave us a voicemail, 708-320-1737. I'd like to thank all of our panelists this week for this amazing trailer release. Of course, Kyle Newman, Sam Witwer, FJ DeSanto, Paul Bateman, Matt Bubala from WGN Radio, thank you very much for having us join you tonight on the air on 720 AM here in Chicago. Of course, you can find every episode of Rebel Force Radio each week at WGNplus.com. We're part of an amazing broadcast team there in Chicago, and we appreciate their support very much. And of course, this show wouldn't have been possible without our fearless moderator, Jason Swank, always there to lead us in amazing Star Wars conversation. Expect more of that from Jason coming up later this week with Star Wars Rebels Declassified and Rebel Force Radio with your listener feedback. So that'll do it. We'll see you later this week. Such a great time to be a Star Wars fan. So much Star Wars happening. Gosh, I don't know how we could contain ourselves. Never thought we'd see this day where we'd be just so spoiled rotten as fans. And it's great. We've earned it. Rejoice, Star Wars fans. New film is merely weeks away. Thanks again for joining us. On behalf of everyone here at Rebel Force Radio, I'm Jimmy Mack. And remember,
the Force will be with you, always.